Well, the name of my talk this morning is Why Pray? And it's kind of what she said. So, yeah. I decided to do a talk about prayer because I'm getting ready to teach a class in prayer and meditation. It's called Ecstatic Prayer and Mystical Meditation. And formerly it was known as Treatment and Meditation. It was part of the certificated classes of the Science of Mind curriculum that is a prerequisite for being a practitioner. The curriculum has not been adapted since 1993, so I decided to rewrite some of it in my own way. Yeah, yay. Well, let's say that I decided to rewrite it. It hasn't actually happened yet. You know you're in trouble when you're super busy, you have a little time carved out to write, and then you say to yourself, you know what? I think the drains in the shower need to be opened up and the hair taken out. Where is a screwdriver? But sometimes serious procrastination is a good sign because it means that something really deep wants to come through. And so I'm hoping and I am praying that something beautiful and something deep is coming through in this class that I'm teaching, and that it really lifts us into a new level of understanding prayer. And also going back to the basics. And one of the basic questions is, why do we pray? Most of us learned that we were supposed to pray in church. And most of us probably learned to pray a little bit differently than we pray here. But prayer can kind of feel like something that we should do. And we also sometimes pray when we're desperate. There's a saying that says that God should be the steering wheel versus the spare tire. And many of us use prayer as the spare tire, right? In my work as a minister for a long time now, I've noticed that people tend to pray, and that I tend to pray, unless I'm really dedicated to making it part of my regular practice, which I am now. I wasn't always, but I am now. But people tend to pray when they want a thing, when they want something. You know, there's that old saying that we pray for parking spaces, princes, meaning partners, and what's the third one?
Palaces.
Oh, palaces. Okay, I was going to say piles of money, but okay, palaces. Yeah, and I actually did a little bit of research on that. That still is a thing, but people are starting to recognize that there may be a deeper application of prayer, right? So we pray for things. We also pray when we want to fix something, when something in our life feels broken and we want God to fix it, right? We pray for that too. And I myself know that I sometimes pray for the process of repair and hurrying to move on just a little bit in my time. That's why we sang that song, In God's Time or In Love's Time. I usually call that song In God's Super Annoying and Slow Time. Because things don't always happen up to speed in my timeline. So those are some of the reasons that we pray, and I don't want to make those reasons wrong. You know, I think in the past I've been guilty of being somewhat of a prayer snob. Because you hear things like, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, right? The 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That means, oh, I'm fine with everything that is. I'm at peace with what is. Perhaps that psalm means something else. That may mean that the Lord is my shepherd, the law or the love is my shepherd, and I shall not want because I already have everything because God is right with me right now. But there is sort of this idea that we are supposed to be at peace with what happens. It's what Krishnamurti said, you know, when his disciples asked him, what is the secret to your blessedness? He said, I don't mind what happens. Does anyone here mind what happens? I know Reverend Judy does. I can't stop teasing Reverend Judy about the time she did a talk where she talked about how she minded what happens, unlike Krishnamurti. But anybody, or is just Judy the only one? Does anybody mind what happens? Okay, yeah, I mind what happens too. So there's all of that going on. And you know, we talk about these things like the four kingdoms of consciousness. I'll be talking about that more in class. But the first kingdom of consciousness is where you are sort of a victim of life. And the second kingdom of consciousness is where you recognize that you have some responsibility and that you can change your thinking and your external circumstances will change. You change your thinking and your life changes. The third kingdom is when you recognize that you are a vessel to be used by spirit. And the fourth kingdom of consciousness is where you completely know that you are at one with Spirit. And I've noticed this about myself lately. I always want to add one more kingdom or one more level to everything. And so I would call the fifth kingdom of consciousness the recognition that it's all okay. It's all God. Sometimes we will pray for things. Sometimes we will pray for things to be fixed. Sometimes we will pray for a certain result. Sometimes we'll pray for God to hurry up already. It's all God. Because it's all part of a pathway of leading us to that greater good, to that ecstasy of recognizing that we are embedded and embraced in this beautiful wholeness that lifts us and supports us and wants to express through us. You know, you think about the universe, whether you call it God or the universe or love or whatever it is that you call it, the universe created itself out of itself, whatever that means. It created this immense and amazing playground. And then did it step back and say, yeah, I created this great thing, but please don't participate in it in an active way. Don't reap the benefits of this. Just be satisfied with your life. It's like several of us are reinventing the youth and family program, and when we reinvent it, we are excited about people participating and partaking and being part of that. And I believe that Spirit is the same way. Spirit is the same thing. Spirit created this beautiful universe out of itself, and it says, please, please participate. Have fun. Have joy. Do what brings you joy. Find that wholeness for yourself. Work through anything that seems like adversity and recognize that I am there in that too. So prayer is one way to reach that level of ecstasy and understanding and knowing God in every single thing. Can we get excited about prayer? Whether it's praying for a thing or praying for a condition to change or praying for time to move faster, can we get excited about prayer? Can we marry excitement and acceptance? And can we recognize that God is in all of it? Can we? Okay. Well, I know that Karina Arcia can. Where is she? Give me 1 minute. I'm going to introduce you. So, as you know, lately I've been in the habit of inviting people to come up and speak about themselves because I just got kind of tired of talking about my life, you know? I mean, there's a lot there. There's a lot there. a lot of room for improvement there. But, you know, this was actually through a process that happened at church. On New Year's Eve, Linda Drevenstedt and Dina Sherry and Susan Burrell, I know that some of them are here today, they did a process where we visioned what was supposed to be happening for the next year, and the phrase that came to me was to shine without shining, to shine without shining. And I said, what does that mean? But it means creating space for other people to shine. And so we're going to have Karina shine in just a minute, but first let me tell you a few words about Karina. Karina came to our church through attending the veterans group that Brock Travis runs downstairs, and I met Karina at the veterans group, and I said to Brock, who is she? She is wonderful. You need to get her upstairs. And he did, because she's here today, and she's been very active and participating in classes, and she and Jen run the youth, the young adults group, and she's just a beautiful soul, and she's going to come up here, and we're going to talk about a story where she was praying for a thing. Oh, horrors. Let's give her some love. Thank you. Now,
Does this work?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, it works.
Are you telling the story or am I asking you questions?
You're asking me questions.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. Okay, so my recollection of this was that Karina was in a class, I believe it was the spiritual economics class that I was teaching, and Karina asked, we were talking a lot about mystical, esoteric, prosperity is generosity, and all kinds of things like that, and Karina asked a very important question. And Karina, what was that question that you asked?
Well, I wanted to pray for a paddleboard, but then I started feeling bad. I was like, should I pray for the paddleboard, or should I pray for, you know, donating to hungry children or the animals? And I was like, oh, I was like, okay, I should pray for the animals and not the paddleboard. So I felt torn between the decision of praying for both, because I was like, oh, I should pray for that because, you know, I want to do world peace and good things. But I asked the question, and I believe it was Tom is it Tom that answered it?
Who's Tom?
I think his name's Tom. Sorry if I messed up your name, but I'm staring right at him.
Jim?
Okay. Jim. It was close. Okay.
Okay.
He answered my question, and he said, if I get the paddleboard, when I'm buying the paddleboard, it's supporting the family who's making the paddleboard. It's going into the circle of money and blessings. So that made me feel better, because I was like, oh, okay, I'm doing good anyways.
Right.
But
you ready for another question?
Yes. Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, all right. So, and I believe we also told Karina that what brings you joy is delightful. You know, what brings you joy, and if your delight is God's delight, basically, is what we told you too. And by paddleboard, you know what she means, right? Those stand-up paddleboards where you're on the ocean, and think of the vastness of that, the beauty of that, of just standing in the ocean and understanding that God is present in the water and the waves. So we gave Karina permission to pray for her paddleboard, and then tell us how you got it. She was going to buy it, by the way, to buy a paddleboard. Tell us how you got it.
I was going to buy the paddleboard, and then you had texted me, I think, and you asked if I would be willing to receive the paddleboard from your best friend's husband, Jeff. And it was from his late wife, Debbie. And so immediately I was very much touched. I was filled with so much joy, and at the same time I was filled with, like, a little bit of sadness. Mm-hmm. But my prayer was answered, and after that, you want to ask me another question?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, your prayer was answered, and it came to you in a unique way, and it also came with, it also was probably better than just a paddleboard, because it came with what?
It came with joy, and it came with friendship, and it came with peace, and it came with a continuous joy to actually share the paddleboard with my family and my friends, and, like, seeing them on the paddleboard, experiencing, you know, being on the ocean was, and their smile, it was just so joyous. It was just like, it was a gift that kept on giving. And now I have this connection with Jeff, my friend, my new friend, and being able to share that with him and knowing where the paddleboard came from, it really touches my heart, because at the time, I was always going through my own struggles, and being on the water just takes everything away. So peaceful, so joyous. It's an amazing experience. And now I have something like that I can do whenever I want, except when it's cold.
Okay, thank you, thank you. Let's give her some love. Thank you. You know, The other thing about that, too, is that it came with an expert paddleboard teacher, who is Jeff. He's quite the expert at doing stand-up paddleboarding, and it was just, it was a beautiful experience, because, you know, I think we do this all the time, because somebody is praying for something that they have to buy or that they have to get in a certain way, and we get riveted in thinking, oh, it can only come this way. It can only come through writing a check or through putting a credit card to the paddleboard people. But no, there are infinite numbers of possibilities of things for us infinite number of possibilities of ways for things to come to us, right? And so one of the things that we teach in Science of Mind Prayer is that we don't actually tell God the how, we tell God the what. This is what I would like to receive. This is what I would like to experience. And God works out the details. The universe works out the details. And in this case, the details look like calling up a friend and saying, you know, do you have a spare paddleboard? And so it worked out beautifully. Again, always so much better than we think it's going to work out. All of the gifts that came through that are still giving. So there's that. There's that. And then I wanted to have somebody speak a little bit about the desire to fix, right? Anybody here try and fix something through prayer? Yeah. I do all the time. I certainly most certainly do that all the time. And there's nothing wrong with that, because anything can lead us into a deeper connection with God. Really, behind everything that we want to fix, there is this thing that is calling us, and that is unity with God. So I'm going to have Diane come up and tell us about something that she tried to fix and did fix, actually. So here you go. Oh, you okay, baby? I don't, you're going to just speak, right? I'm not interviewing you. Okay.
I'm just going to speak.
Okay.
Well, The thing that I tried to fix was actually me. So I'll tell you my little story. I had been advised by my doctor at age 62 that I had cancer. And I panicked about that because my mother died of cancer at age 62. And so I actually went into meditation on how am I going to deal with this situation. And through meditation, the message that I got was, I'm not my mother. And actually, I kind of resisted that because my mother was the role model that I wanted to be. She was loving, kind, generous, had all the wonderful attributes. And when I tried to say I'm not my mother, I could not accept it. And so I went to bed concerned about that. But when I woke up in the morning, what came to me was, hey, the doctor says I have cancer, but I don't feel sick. Oh, I don't feel sick. And so I came up with an affirmation for myself. No matter what the doctors say, I'm not sick. And so I met with the surgeon and he said, this is what's going to happen. You're going to have surgery. You're going to have 6 months of chemotherapy. After that, you'll have 48 days of radiation. And I had to go home and think about all of that. And it was, I don't care what the doctors do. I'm not sick. I am not sick. And so I went through the surgery. And amazingly, afterwards, I didn't even take any pain medication because I wasn't sick. I went through chemotherapy. And I was president of my homeowners association. I was on the landscape committee. I was busy doing things. I never missed a meeting because I wasn't sick. In the middle of the chemotherapy, my husband died. And he died very peacefully in his sleep. And I remember standing over his body and looking at him. And the first thought that came to my mind was, how could you do this to me? How selfish was that? And so I really had to meditate on that. And what I discovered was that gratitude, to be grateful for the absolutely magnificent life he had given me, was the best medicine for me. And so every day I said, thank you. Thank you for that beautiful life. And then it struck me because I wasn't working and I had a mortgage and we'd recently had to replace the car. How's I going to take care of all of that? And so I meditated once again and prayed. And it came to me what to do. I made a phone call to a real estate agent and said, I think I need to sell my house. He said, okay, can I have an appointment for tomorrow? And I said, yes. And he showed up, and he had a lady with him. And she bought my house that day. Resolve the problem. Thank you, God. Once again, I prayed with gratitude for all that was going on in my life. Well, then I had to find some place to live. And I did. But it was a very, very old mobile home. And on the outside, it was great. The floor plan was wonderful. However, the decor was so ugly. Now, mind you, I'm still having chemotherapy. And I take a look at that and go, you know, fixing up this place, it's going to be physically challenging. But then I prayed and meditated. And what I realized was the universe was giving me a diversion. Stop thinking about yourself. Fix up the place. And I did. And I remember before I closed to escrow, my stepdaughter came with me and looked through the windows of the place and said, oh, Diane, it's so ugly. And a few months later, she came to visit me and she said, my God, it's beautiful. So prayer works. And then I was having radiation every day, and a friend calls me and says, Diane, I need your help. I said, what? My office manager quit, and I need you to come to work for me. And I said, Terry, I'm having radiation treatments every morning. He said, that's okay, you can come in late. And so I did. And the whole story is just prayer works. And if you meditate and listen, your life can be absolutely incredible.
Thank you, Diane. Thank you. Thank you. That's so sweet. Oh, that's such a great story. Thank you. You know, I kind of wish we had ended with yours because I'm going to tell one more brief story about my relationship with prayer, and this is about the thing of trying to hurry God along, okay? So many of you know that I have this Flemish giant rabbit, which is a large rabbit. He's 18 pounds. And by the way, I have two small rabbits in my office right at the moment. That's why I forgot my microphone. Anyway, I have a large rabbit, and he got a very serious rabbit disease, which is gastrostasis. They can't eat and they can't poop. Okay, so I said poop in church. Okay, I'm a former nurse. I have a lot of animals. It's okay. All right, there's going to be some poop in this story, and you're right, it's all God. As one of our practitioners said, God is in the poo too. So we took him to the emergency room, and it was a very large bill and all this stuff, and brought him back, and it took a really long time for me to start seeing results that the treatment was working. And so I put out a prayer request to the practitioners, and I said, practitioners, please, I need you to pray that Bigfoot, my rabbit, Bigfoot will poop. Well, you know what happened? That prayer for poo jumped onto another practitioner. Not her per se, but her dogs. There was lots of dog poo in this woman's life. So we talked about it, and then I was like, let's redirect that prayer onto Bigfoot. And finally, finally I realized, you know, I was obsessed with what was wrong with him, with recognizing that there was nothing in his litter box. And what I finally realized after praying and meditating, like Diane says, is just to trust the process. This is not a prayer about poo. This is a prayer about wholeness. That, you know, in Busting Loose in the Money Game, we talked about phase one where stuff is going wrong, and in phase two, you have everything that you want. You pop stuff into your hologram. You pop poop into your paradigm. And I was working really hard to pop poop into my paradigm. But again, I add another level all the time. I add a phase three where everything is unfolding perfectly. And the thing is that it was, because as Bigfoot's illness progressed, we recognized that he wasn't able to eat because he had a mouth infection. And had he been eating with that mouth infection, it would have gotten worse. So we treated his tooth infection, and he got better. And I'm happy to say that the litter box is abundant right now. So, so that really made me believe in God's time, in God's process. And all of these stories about prayer, whether it's praying for a thing that is representative of a greater virtue, like joy and love that you wish to experience, or praying for something to be changed, which is a representation of trusting that God is in charge, that God is in everything. They say that there is no illness in God, but God most certainly is in illness. God is absolutely there in everything. And my own process of wanting things to hurry along and recognizing that there is a hidden wholeness in everything, and even the things that in life that are not up to our speed, that are not working as we wish they were, even those things contain that kernel of wholeness that is waiting for us to expand it. Because we expand through our consciousness. As Hugh said in the reading, the only thing we need to do is change our consciousness entirely. That's all we need to do. And we'll be talking more about that in the coming weeks. But what it means is expressing gratitude. It means looking for the good in things. It means trusting. It means seeing that there is that kernel of wholeness in absolutely everything that happens. It is trusting that God is in charge and that the universe wants us to play and the universe wants us to celebrate and the universe wants us to be big for God. The universe wants to express its greatness through every single detail of our lives. So if you are willing to do that, then this message is for you. Is there anybody who doesn't want to be great? Is there anybody here that doesn't want to have a beautiful life? Is there anybody here that doesn't want to trust God? If you are, please stand up so that we may shun you. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. If you don't want any of that stuff, just keep coming back. We will love you into the realization that life is for you and that God is expressing beautifully through every single detail of your life, and we will give you the eyes and the heart with which to see it and receive it. God is forever giving the gift of the kingdom of heaven on earth, and it is up to us to receive it. So let us receive it now. Let us pray.